Good morning. How y'all doing today? Very good. Who didn't pay the heat bill? I'm talking about outside. Wasn't it 70 degrees last week? Man. Now it's 20, what? Well, I'm excited to be with you. I don't know if a lot of you know, but our fearless leader, Richard, is down with a cold and probably a flu. He's been out for a while, and let's be praying for him and everyone else that's sick. This is the season people get sick, right? So let's be bringing chicken soup around. Let's be bringing love. But don't bring it the disease in here, please. We don't want to get sick. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for staying home if you're listening to this on tape. What's our theme for this year? Wholehearted devotion to God, right? That's the goal of our lives. Today I want to talk about becoming people who are constantly taking our relationship with God to another level. You know, in the teens, we have another sub-theme, if you will. Our other theme is, I forgot it for a second. Teens, you know, what is it? There you go. Don't talk about it, be about it. Because aren't we really good at just talking about stuff? Aren't we good at complaining about stuff? You know, it's so easy to talk about stuff and not do anything about it, but the proof is in the actions, right? You know, we need to have commitment to change. We need to fan into flame our relationship with God. There's a sporting event that's happening next week. We might miss it, I'm not sure. I don't know if anyone in here has a dog in that fight. For me, one of my favorite parts of the Super Bowl are the commercials. Now, I like football, yeah, that's great, but the commercials are hilarious. And I remember one of the commercials, and I don't know if it was in the Super Bowl, but there was a commercial I remember years ago. I was looking for it online, I couldn't find it. But there was a guy driving a really nice car. It was a BMW or a Mercedes or something like that. And he was driving and he stops at a stoplight. And another car comes up beside him. And it was a beater. You know, this car wasn't nearly as nice as his. And it was filled with all of his friends. And they lean over to him and say, yo, come on, come with us, follow us, we're going to a party. He said, nah, I can't go. Fast forward in the commercial, you see the people at the party, they're having a good time. And ding dong, the bell rings. It's the pizza man. They had ordered some pizza for the party. And if you remember the commercial, who was the delivery man? The guy driving the Beamer, right? And here he is, and his friends just kind of look, and there's this beautiful car with like a pizza sign on top of it. You know, a lot of people make fun of this guy, like, dag, man, you know, you're driving a Beamer, you're doing all this, you look like you're successful, here you are delivering pizza. But why don't we flip that? He wanted that car, and he was willing to work hard for it while other people were playing. Are you willing to work hard for your relationship with God while the world is playing around with their salvation? Guys, we need to take this thing serious. Our relationship with God is a lot more worthy than pizza, right? Even New York pizza. You know, he was willing to work hard. He was willing to be uncomfortable. He was willing to live lowly to get what he wanted. Now, is the car worth that? Not to me. If I can't enjoy my life, I'd rather drive a beater than have to work 24 hours a day. But we all have different priorities. What's your priority with your relationship with God? Fan into flame your relationship with God. You know, I was reading a few articles about getting motivated to change hard things. And one of the things that's, one of the articles says is, don't complain about anything you're not willing to work hard to change. Woo! Somebody said, woo! Isn't that a woo moment? Isn't that an ouch moment? It's like, I'm good at complaining. It's like, oh man, my jeans, my parents passed me the wrong jeans. Not these kind of jeans, the jeans that are inside you, you know what I'm saying? Well, I have the propensity to be heavy. Well, you might have the propensity, but you can do something about it, right? Well, I complain about my parents, they gave me this. Or my attitude's the way it is because I didn't get hugged enough as a child. We can have so many excuses, and are those things real? Absolutely. But what I'm saying is, if you work hard, you can get past those things and do excellent. Don't complain about things that you're not willing to work hard to change. You know, some of us complain about our financial status or our lack of financial status. Are you willing to work hard? You know, I ask people all the time, you know, people not working, how you doing? How's it going? And they're just looking for a certain type of job. You know what? In this economy, any job right now is a good kind of job. You know, there are people that are in their country, they were lawyers and doctors. Here, they're not those things. We have to be willing to work hard to get the things we want. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Timothy 1. The title of this sermon is Fan into Flames. You know, God calls us to have a wholehearted devotion to Him and to have sincere faith. How do we do this? How do we develop wholehearted, sincere faith? 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You know, this is a very encouraging scripture, but it's very challenging. You know, Paul is talking to Timothy here, and I believe he's encouraging him about the faith that he sees in him. But he said he saw that faith first in his family, in the people that raised him. You know, that's very encouraging to see the faith passed through generation to generation. You know, I love working the youth ministry. I love that we have kids in our worship services. They're watching us worship. Guys, do not fellowship during the time when it's time to sing. That is not the time to do that. The time to sing is the time to sing. The time to fellowship is after or before. Right now, our children are watching us. We turn around and we disciple and discipline our children about talking, but yet we're still having conversations. Guys, we need to keep it real, right? We need to have the same standard for everybody. That was free. That wasn't in the notes. But faith is the beginning of your relationship with God. Without faith in Jesus, we can do nothing. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Is that your attitude? Or do you think that you could just fight through it? Do you think that with a little bit more elbow grease, you'll make it happen? You know what? In some instances in your life, you will. Not spiritually. Spiritually, that elbow grease needs to translate into a deeper relationship with God. Paul commands him and urges Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. What is that gift that he's talking about? I think that's the key right there. You know, when you fan into flame something, it suggests work. Have you ever been just walking by and just saw something just spontaneously go on fire? You know, I'm not talking about the brush fires. I'm not, you know, if you were there, amen, I'm sorry. But I'm talking about just in your everyday life. When you walk around, things just turn around and go on fire, right? You know, one of the shows that I like on TV is called Dual Survivor. I love that show, man. You got crazy dudes on that show. These guys are awesome. You know, they're crazy in our culture, right? One of the guys, Cody Lundeen, he wears shorts all the time and wears no shoes. Hasn't worn shoes for 20 years. I mean, his feet are callous like that. I mean, he could walk on glass and be all right. Now, he's the kind of guy you might not want at the dinner party, but you want him if you're out in the bush. You know what I'm saying? You want him if you're stranded. You know, there's a lot of people out here that are stranded in their relationship with God. There are a lot of people here that need disciples who are calloused feet, that have kind of been through a couple of wars, you know what I'm saying? That can help people traverse through this life. You know, one of the things I like about him is that he can make fire anywhere. I mean, there was something, you know what I'm talking about, right? There was something that he had like wet tinder. And I'm like, how is this dude going to do that? I mean, he even for the camera, you know, squeezed it out, showed everybody it was really wet. It wasn't, you know, a parlor trick. And through much work and much patience, he created fire. He sat there and he rubbed things together and he blew and he knew exactly when to rub. He knew exactly when to blow. He understood the difference between working hard and working smart, but he was willing to do both. Are you willing to fan your relationship with God into flames? You know, our relationship with God cannot be on cruise control. You know, when we're not growing, we're dying. Every day we need to be fanning into flames. How is God's expectation for our relationship with him? You guys know the scripture. Revelation 3, turn there, please. You know, I was thinking about bringing some tinder up here, but I didn't think Meadow Creek would like that so much, so I kind of went against it. You can prevent forest fires. Okay. Revelation 3, I forgot, I'm 19 class. I always have people read. Revelation 3, 15 through 16. I'll read that. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You know, God, there's an expectation for a relationship with him to be hot. But he'd rather you be cold, because at least you know where you're at. Now, is cold a good place to be? Everybody say no. Thank you for those that obeyed. No, it's not a good place to be. Just because he'd rather you be there doesn't mean that's the place he designed you to be. He designed us to fan our faith into a flame. You know, one of the things, watching those shows, you know, one of the things that is needed for survival is fire. And you know, it's water, food, shelter, fire. I forgot the other fifth thing. But fire is needed to stay alive. You know, that's the same thing spiritually. How do you feel when your fire is a little lukewarm? And I'm just telling you, just think about the feeling for a second. You know, feelings aren't always a great barometer of where we're at, is it? Because sometimes we could be all fired up thinking we're doing great, and somebody come up and tell you a little something, and it blows your whole fire out. They encourage you to change something. Like, oh, man, I'm horrible. I'm the worst disciple in the world. Calm down. Today we did a class for the teens, and it was all about encouragement. And the class really was really talking about that encouragement isn't only giving positive, you know, kisses and hugs. Sometimes encouragement is like, come on, brother, you can do it. Let's go. Encouragement means to give courage. It doesn't always mean, oh, sister, you look very beautiful today. I love the way, what you've done with your hair. You know, there's not a lot of brothers going to walk up to each other and say, bro, I love your hair. You know, especially like Artie Flowers, there's really not much to say, right? So we're looking for ways to encourage one another. Love you, bro. We're looking for ways to encourage one another. Look over in Romans 12. You know, the greatest gift that God has given us is salvation. And he tells us to use that and fan that into flames. See, it's our salvation is supposed to inspire us. When we get up in the morning, we're supposed to be inspired that we're going to heaven. You know, Paul says in the Bible to encourage each other by saying, Jesus is coming back. Do you encourage each other with that? Do you encourage yourself with that fact? Do you live like Jesus is coming back? Because it is not a sweet story to tell your children at bedtime. It's a fact that Jesus is coming back, and we need to prepare to be ready for him. Amen? We need our fire to be hot. We can't be lukewarm. Jesus hates that so much. God hates that so much. He said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to expel you from my body. God takes our relationship with him very seriously. We need to do this so we can live to please God. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. According to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Man, there's so much in this scripture to talk about. There's so much to encourage, so much to teach. You know, what drives us to have wholehearted devotion? You know, I think that's a question that you need to ask yourself. In order to get someplace, you got to ask yourself, why are you going there in the first place? You need to understand that, why do you want to be wholehearted in your devotion to God? Aren't there plenty of people that call themselves Christians that don't live wholehearted devotion to God? And they seem pretty happy. Sometimes they seem very happy because they don't have any worries. They're not worried about a lost world that's going to hell if we don't help them. They're not worried about changing our characters daily as we're shown stuff through the scriptures and through one another. They don't worry about that stuff. Because you know what? Unfortunately, in this religious world we live in, every road leads to heaven. That's not the truth. Since we know that, that's why we as disciples go out and reach out to our friends. That's why we as disciples who know better through the scriptures, it is not a thing about us to sit here and try to brag or think that we figured it all out. We have plenty of things to grow in, guys. We need to be humble. We need to recognize, but we also need to know why we want to have wholehearted devotion. In verse 3, let's look back at that. It says, "For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." We need to have a sober judgment of where we're at spiritually. So that when someone comes to you and shares areas in your life that you think you might have on straight, and they challenge your mind to the contrary, don't get it twisted. Don't lose your mind. It's okay. Praise God that someone came up to you and told you something. Praise God that you have relationships, that people are willing to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. If your hair is going this way, where it should be going that way, wouldn't you rather know before you got in front of everybody? I know I would. We need to be willing to say the hard things, but also willing to hear the hard things. Isn't it hard to hear that? Sometimes it's easy to say it, though, right? See, that's why he's talking about grace. Before you go ahead and talk to somebody else about the things they need to change, you need to remember all the things that you need to change, and also think about the way you want to communicate it to you. That will save a lot of hard feelings and a lot of people feeling bad about where they're at. Amen? You know, as disciples, we're called never to be lacking zeal. Now, hold up, Paul. It's kind of hard to never be doing anything. You know, I'm not that good. I'm not that consistent with anything in my life. Never be lacking zeal? So I got to always be on? How about when I'm struggling? How about when I just don't feel like it? You ever feel like that? Don't lie and say you haven't. I know I'm not the only sinner up in the room. We all go through those moments, don't we? That's why we need to fan into flame our relationship with God. It takes work. When you leave a fire, you know, and just dormant, that fire, I don't care how much wood you put on it, will eventually go out. It could be blazing hot. A couple of hours later, the only thing that's left is ash and soot. What do you got to keep on doing? Got to keep on feeding the fire. How do we feed the fire spiritually? Well, one way is obviously praying and going, getting into the Word and asking God to fill us, to refill us. Do not allow the relationships in this room or anywhere else to be the substitute for your relationship with God. Let me tell you something. My wife is an amazing woman, and I'm a lucky man to have her, but she is not my God. She was never designed to be, but she's an amazing wife. My children, love them to death, but my world does not surround them. They are a huge part of my life, and I am on a mission to help them become disciples and successful in life, but they shall never replace my God. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, I could keep going on, right? Your bestie, whoever E you want to put E, and talk about E. God must be number one. He designed us to want him first, and we must continue to do that. You know, another thing that we can fan our relationship with God with is each other. After we've gotten to God, you know, God uses us to talk to each other. I'm not saying to abandon the relationships, guys. We need to build those. I think we need to build them a whole lot more than they're built right now. How's your discipling relationship going in 2013? It's the end of January. How many times have y'all gotten together? Why get so quiet all of a sudden? Guys, we need to be getting together. Why? So everybody could be in my business? No. Did I say get together with everybody? Find your best friends. Find someone that you totally respect. You know, I was sharing this with somebody the other day. With a teen class today. I feel that the best disciple relationship I ever had was with Richard. And I don't just say that. People are like, yeah, right, whatever. You got to say that. No, I don't. Actually, I don't. If it wasn't right, we'd work on it to fix it, amen? How are you doing with those relationships that aren't naturally gelling? Are you dismissing them before that they actually could get good? That was free. That one just came from someplace else and not here. Guys, we got to work on this stuff. It's not going to be easy. Me and Richard are totally like this. We love God. That's the thing that brings us together. He's from a different continent. He's a different age bracket. He's different in a lot of areas. I like Avengers. He likes, Shakespeare. You know, it's like we go in totally different areas. You know what I love about him, though? He don't play games. He doesn't let me stay where I'm at. He calls me and expects me to be better. Why? Because I'm in the ministry? No. Because he loves me and he's my friend. I do the same thing with the teens I help, with the brothers I help. I try to imitate that. Are you imitating that in your leaders? You know, the elders got before us last year and said, you know, they need to work on the relationships. They've done it. It's time for us to follow them and do it with our relationships. Our discipling relationships is what makes us different than a lot of churches out there, guys. We call ourselves a discipling movement. Movement suggests moving, right? If you're not getting a discipling relationship, you're not moving. Come on, guys, it ain't rocket science. Look over in Mark 10. You know, the cool thing in all this is we know and we know and we know that Jesus is coming back one day. Amen? Amen. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. There you go. There you go. There you are. Jesus is coming back and God is watching. You know, a lot of people are afraid of that. Oh, God's watching. You know, what if you're doing what's right? Will you not be accepted? That's in Genesis. If you do what's right, won't you be accepted? And the cool thing is, when we do what's wrong, God sees it. Does he kill you instantly? Who had a funky thought since they've been in this room? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. You might get struck. We all have thoughts come and go, don't they? Sometimes we give them audience. And sometimes when we're being spiritual, we fight them and we don't entertain them. Imagine if God decided, I'm going to kill everybody today who has a negative thought. You know what? Today, I think I'm going to make it no bad thought day. That's a new day, no bad thought day. So the minute you have one, you're dead. How many people right now will be like, bah, 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 bah? Like, oh my gosh, there's a contagion up in here. There's an epidemic going on. Yeah, there is, and it's called sin. You know, we don't wear our sin, you know, on our person, do we? Well, some of us do. And I think that's awesome. Because when I'm close to somebody and I look at them, how you doing? And they say, I'm fine. No, you're not. Stop lying. I know you. You're this bubbly, goofy kind of guy, and today you're all, like, grumpy. What's going on? Are you willing to push hard in those relationships? Are you willing to let people slowly eke out of the kingdom of God? We have to be willing to love each other enough to challenge each other. But we need to do it in love, right? We need to do it with respect. But that's how we fan into flame our relationship with God. You know, yesterday we had prayer time, and it was awesome. It was about seven of us gathered together. How many dads we have in the room? There you go. There should have been more than seven there, guys. I'm just going to say it. Now, some of us had reasons. Some of us have to work. Some had other meetings. Some were sick. Guys, I'm calling you out. Come to the Father's prayer. Can I get an amen from the brothers? Amen. I am calling you out. I might get rebuked for this, but I don't care. It is important. As so the fathers go, the families will go. Guys, we have to have passion for our families. We have to have a burning desire for our families to do great, guys. It breaks my heart that men in the church of God are not leading the families the way that God calls us to. Guys, we got to do it. Stop having an armhole on your pillow. Let it go. Is that the only day you get to sleep in? Oh, well, we do it once a month. It's important. We had several new guys in the group this week. And I had several guys, you know, email or text me and say, hey, I'm not able to come because of this. Amen. I appreciate that. Guess what? They're in the fight. They're doing it. And our prayer, when we were praying together, we were like, I pray that all the other dads are home having great quiet times. Guys, you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there. But I challenge you to be there. We need to build relationships. You know, the idea behind this prayer time is not just for the prayer. While that is powerful, it's also that after the prayer, we go and have breakfast together sometimes. Where we go start new relationships. Where we have new people we can confess our sins to. We have new people to gain encouragement and also give encouragement. Guys, as the father goes, the family goes. It is not too far. We moved to Lawrenceville for a reason. It's in the middle of Gwinnett County. Come on out. I encourage you. But I am calling you out. Take it as a personal challenge. And if you have a problem with it, come see me. We can talk about it. I don't mean to offend or hurt anybody. But guys, this is important. This is for our families. How are we going to win a lost world and we're not winning the lost that are in our own homes? Look over in Mark 10. And we're going to close out here. You know, it's so amazing that God sees exactly what we're doing. In Mark 10, verse 28, it says, Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who's left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, and fields, with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. You know, it's amazing that God sees what we're doing and is looking forward to reward what we're doing. So when we get up on a Saturday morning a little extra early to go for our Father's prayer, when we go and we're studying the Bible with somebody late at night, when we're doing whatever it is, over and beyond, if there is such a thing, that God sees it and we please the Father. And when we please the Father, He's already going to give us heaven. He says, I don't just want to give you heaven. I want to bless your life while you're here. Guys, we're not called to do the things we do to get rewards. We do it because we've already gotten the reward. Think about it when you look at yourself in the mirror. Don't you like who you see? When you're doing it God's way, you feel confident. You feel strong. Why? Because God gives you that strength. The Bible says that He gives you peace. Look over in Hebrews 12. I got one more minute. Hebrews 12. You guys with me? All right. Hebrews 12, 28. Twenty-eight 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably and with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen? Amen? God wants to consume our lives. God wants to take us to the next level. But we must give our efforts to get there. Amen? Amen. God bless you.